If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Psalm chapter 33. We're missing folks, I know, because of July 4th. There's folks that we haven't seen back since the COVID epidemic started, and just praying that the day will come soon that we can all get together once again. But I do not want to take for granted your presence in the service today. I thank the Lord for you, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to read one verse, and then we're going to preach out of the chapter 33 of the book of Psalms. The Word of God said in verse number 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Would you read it with me? It's a beautiful verse of Scripture. Here we go. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for your presence, for your power, for the precious blood of Jesus that washed away my sin. Lord, I thank you for those that are visiting today. I'm well aware, Lord, that we have families that no doubt are out of town, and I'm well aware, Lord, that there are families with extenuating circumstances, Lord, concerning this virus. And I just ask you, Father, that the day would come soon, we could see all of God's people at one time in a service. What a blessing, Lord, that's going to be. Until then, our Father, I pray that you'll help us just to, Lord, not get discouraged, but, Lord, to look up and realize, Lord, that things are happening in the world and they're pointing towards the coming of the Lord Jesus for his own. Lord, this week, Brother Don will have a procedure on Thursday. I pray for him and his precious wife. I pray for Brother Brian, Lord, and Sister Kim, Lord, as they travel to Houston. And Lord, I pray you give them a safe trip back. Lord, sometime tomorrow they'll be coming back, maybe late. But Lord, I pray you'll bless them and bless their fellowship together. And Lord, I pray that you'll just help us all now in these days to look up and realize, Lord, that soon our Redeemer will come. And Lord, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I have a message on my heart this morning. I mentioned a little while back that Brother Steve uses a phrase many times, a simple message. And that's the way I feel about this message, but I feel like it's needed in this hour that we live in. I want to preach on the marks of a nation whose God is the Lord. The marks of a nation whose God is the Lord. Now, you could take that and run with it in many different directions. But what I'd like to do today is stay in the text, stay in the chapter as the Lord spoke to my heart. The first thing I want to look at today is the foundation. A nation whose God is the Lord has to have a foundation. That's going to be a mark. You know, you would be a foolish person to try to build a house on the sand. That's what the Word of God teaches. And I believe it would be a foolish people that would try to build a nation on the sand. I believe that a nation whose God is the Lord is being built upon a rock. It's being built upon a solid foundation. And the Word of God said in verse number 4, this is how the Lord spoke to my heart in verse number 4, "For the Word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." So I believe the Word of the Lord, the Bible, the Holy Bible, is the foundation upon which a nation is built whose God is the Lord. And there's some things that really are concerning me, troubling me in these days that we're living in. And probably the one that's troubling me more than any is that there's an effort being made to destroy the foundation in our country. Now, just as sure as there's an effort being made by the enemy to destroy the foundation, God needs some people to square their shoulders back, not in pride, not in arrogance, but to stand up for that is right. There are men, many, many men that are veterans in this church that were called upon to go and defend that flag, to go and defend our freedoms, to go and defend our families. Amen? And they did it without hesitation, and because they love America. And I believe there's a danger today. And one of the dangers is a man having a good wife and taking her for granted. Children having good parents and taking them for granted. A wife having a good husband, taking him for granted. A pastor having a good church and taking the church for granted. A church having a good pastor, you all get one of these days, and taking that pastor for granted. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a danger in taking our country for granted. There's a danger in staying silent while the foundations are being undermined and eroded. And I believe with all of my heart the Lord would help us to understand that one of the marks of a nation whose God is the Lord is the foundation. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 11 for just a moment, please. I don't believe I can say it any better than the Word of God says it. The Word of God said in Psalm chapter number 11, "In the Lord put I my trust." Can you say amen right there? "How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow." How many is aware that the wicked have bent their bow in this generation? "And they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." In verse number 3, now listen, this is years and years and centuries ago, but the Word of God is always relevant. And the Bible said here, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I believe with all of my heart that the Word of God back then is still the Word of God today. And the Word of God is relevant in every generation that we live in. And the Word of God said, if the foundation be destroyed, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. Can I say this to you this morning? He was on His throne when David was penning this down under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And He's still on His throne this morning. That's not changed. The Word of God said, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence. Look how relevant it is to our day. Him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Now you listen to me carefully. It's all right for a child of God to love what God loves. And it's all right for a child of God to hate what God hates. As a matter of fact, it's more than all right. It's right for a child of God to love what God loves and hate what God hates. Beloved, it's time to have a backbone. It's time, beloved, listen, to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. It's time not to roll over and play dead as we're run over by a bunch of people that hate this country. And beloved, I want to undermine the very foundation upon which it was built. It's time to stand. The Word of God said, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone. When I read this last night, Brother Steve, meditating and studying, this is what I thought about. I thought about the looters, and I thought about the rioters. And I thought about how big they think they are when they set that business on fire, or when they set that monument on fire, or when they set that police car on fire. I'm going to tell you something. They're not going to be feeling too big when God sets them on fire. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, their day is coming
And God said it's coming. The Word of God said upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. That's what God's people ought to love. Righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. I thought about this, and I don't know if I can make any sense out of this to you this morning or not. I'm not going to read it in its entirety. But I thought about the Declaration of Independence. And just sharing a little bit here with you, I want you to notice, especially at the beginning, I'm not going to read the whole thing, and the end. The marks of a nation whose God is the Lord. We're talking about the foundation of that nation. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of earth a separate and equal station to which laws of nature and of nature's God. That's a capital G-O-D. There's no S on the end of it. And it's not a little G. Listen to what the word of the Declaration said. Entitled them, "A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator." Now listen to me. I'm talking about the foundations. If we can't even get that right, we are created in the image of God. These men that founded this country knew that it was not just dependent upon their military strength, but a God in heaven, amen, that would smile on them with His presence. To secure these rights, by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When you get down to the end, let me see if I can find this here. "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and the General Congress assembled, appealing," listen, "to the Supreme Judge of the world." Does anybody know who he is? "For the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies and the right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance with the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain, ought to be totally dissolved, and that as a free and independent state, they have the power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all the acts and things that independent states may rightly do. And for the support of this declaration," now listen, "and with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor." You say, "Pastor, I don't know why you read that." Because, beloved, listen, in the beginning of this country, there were men that knew there was a judge higher than any judge that was sitting on a bench in this country, and that men and women, boys and girls, were one day going to stand before that judge, and that that judge is the one that was to be depended on if this nation were to have the foundation that was pleasing in the sight of God. The marks of a nation whose God is the Lord. Now listen to me. Some of you may not even be aware of this, but our children aren't being taught that. Listen to me carefully. Our children are not being taught that. Our children, I tell you what our children are being taught. You're your own God. You answer to yourself. You answer to no one else. Secular humanism has swept this land for several decades now. And we are reaping, beloved, listen, what has been sown over and over. You say, "Pastor, I don't know why anybody would want to erase history." Because, beloved, they want to rewrite it. And I'm telling you, listen to me carefully, beloved, if the foundation be destroyed, the Word of God said in one place, "Remove not the ancient landmarks." There's some things, beloved, listen, that we need to look to and learn from, but we don't need to erase the history that God has given us in this great land that we call the United States of America. The marks of a nation whose God is the Lord. It's going to be marked, number one, with a foundation. Oh, I'm so glad. I remember witnessing to a man, and the man is up in years. The man has a very fine home, all kinds of farm and farm equipment and cattle. And I remember witnessing to him, and it just seemed like it was just so hard to get through. And I asked him one day, I said, listen, when they were building this home, I said, if you, it's a beautiful home. I bragged on his home. I said, if you came up on this hill and you looked down in that ditch and they were laying cinder blocks, and in the bottom of that ditch, or what we call a footer, was sand, I said, what would you do? And that man looked at me and he said, I'd make them tear it down. And I said, that'd be a wise decision. And I told him, I said, you're never going to get any help in your life until you're willing to let God tear down that mess that you've built up all of these years. That's called repentance, amen. That's called, listen, saying, Lord, I've been in this world 80 years and I'm building on the wrong foundation. The foundation that I'm standing on is sinking. Thank God when I was 27 years old, I got off of the sinking sand and got on the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation is so important. The marks of a nation whose God is the Lord. The second thing is the faith. Notice what the Word of God said here. How many can remember watching some of the old westerns? How many can remember that? Well, you know, they didn't just dream this stuff up. But the schoolhouse and the church house was the same building. You know, it was the church house on Sunday, and Monday through Friday is the schoolhouse. They had a church picnic on Sunday out and under the shade tree, and the kids had their lunch Monday through Friday out and under the shade tree. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, listen to me, that we have swallowed a lie in America on the separation of religion, amen, the separation of church and state. Beloved, that was designed not to keep religion out of the state, but to keep the state out of religion, to keep the state out of the church. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that. You study it out, beloved. I'll tell you, you're going to find out that it was flipped on its head. And, beloved, the nation whose God is the Lord is a nation that's marked by the right foundation. And it's a nation that's marked by faith. You say, Pastor, is everybody in that nation a believer? Why, no. And I'm going to show you in a little while. But I'm just telling you, that's the principles upon which the nation was founded. Look at verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You say, Pastor, what's so important about that? Listen, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. If we had a Senate and a Congress and a president and mayors and governors that realized God's been good to America, they might find them a place and repent. Amen. And ask God to forgive them. Amen, for leading our nation down the path that it's going. The Word of God said here, by the Word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it's not been too many decades ago. They started teaching, listen, not in a creator, but in a big bang. Say amen. Let me tell you something this morning. It takes more faith to believe a lie and be damned than it does just to believe the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It takes more faith to believe the lie than it does to believe the truth. There's no evidence whatsoever to support the lie of Satan. But the Word of God said here, by the Word of the Lord the heavens were made. Now listen, not only is it talking about, beloved, who created, but how He created it. Brother Steve, He spoke it. He spake the world. You say, Pastor, that's impossible. Well, it is absent of faith. But if we believe the Word of God, that's exactly the way it happened. Amen. If we believe the Word of God, God took some dust and He made him a man and He breathed into that man's nostrils the breath of life, and God let that man go to sleep, put him to sleep one day, took a rib out of his side, made a help need for it. You say, Pastor, do you believe that? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And the Word of God is talking about some marks of a nation whose God is the Lord. The foundation is a mark, the faith of that nation. The Bible said, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. They're not going to be taught that in science class these days. But it's still the truth of the Word of God. It's not going to change. Look at verse 12 down through verse 15 just momentarily. The Word of God said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. That's the people of faith. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all. The Word of God said, the sons of men, from the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. God is looking, and God knows. When He looks down on the inside of you and down on the inside of me, He knows whether we have faith, whether we have trusted Him, whether we believe His Word. By the way, let me just say this to you. I don't believe you can go through the Bible and pick and choose what you're going to believe. You can't say, well, I don't believe in the virgin birth, but I do believe in Calvary. You can't say, well, I don't believe in the virgin birth, and I do believe in Calvary, but I don't believe in the resurrection. It can't be that way. You can't say, well, I believe in the virgin birth, but I don't believe in the vicarious death of the Lord Jesus. You cannot do that. You can't say, well, beloved, I believe the Bible contains the Word of God. You better get to this place. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the final authority. And the Bible is the book from which our faith cometh. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The foundation is a mark of a nation whose God is the Lord. Their faith is a mark of a nation whose God is the Lord. Let me touch on this just quickly. Fear. You know what's happened in America? We've lost the fear of God. Now, I'm going to go a step further than that. That same thing has happened in many churches. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's no way that you could get me to just stand up and lamb blast Brother Sam or just say awful things. You say, preacher, what if they were true? I fear God. If there's something true and it needs to be addressed in Brother Sam's life, I can go talk to Brother Sam. I don't have to talk about him. I can go talk to him. Say amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen. This thing called discord among the brethren, it would not exist if the fear of God exists. We'd be afraid. We'd be understanding, Brother Steve, that scripture that says offenses will come, but woe unto him by whom the offense cometh. It's better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and be cast into the depths of the sea than to offend one of these. Listen, thank God. I thank God for our church. We celebrated 7 years on Mother's Day here at the church. I thank God we've not had to deal with discord and not had to deal with backbiting. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If we ever do, it's an evidence that we don't fear God the way that we should. Now, you know, and I'm telling it the truth, it goes on everywhere. Not just in the country, but in the churches. It goes on in the job. It goes on in the schools. The Word of God, I want you to see this. Verse number 8. I read it just a moment ago. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. Can I say this? No wonder the world has lost their all if the church has lost its all. No wonder the world don't fear God if the church don't fear God. The Word of God said in verse number 13, look at it. The Word of God said, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. Beloved men, listen. This is something that I didn't know when we started having children. I thought, I'm being honest, I thought that as long as I could teach my children, Brother Steve, to be afraid of me. What do you mean by that? You do wrong, you're going to be punished. Okay? You're going to be chastised for it. But I learned something along the way. Daddy can't always be with them. It's a wiser parent that teaches their children, honey, I may not see what you're doing, but God sees what you're doing. I may not know what you're doing, but God knows what you're doing. It's a wiser parent that teaches a child to fear God and realize that one day, in the end, he's the one we're going to stand before, and he's the one we're going to give an account to. And the psalmist here, the marks of a nation whose God is the Lord. There is a fear, a reverential fear. The Word of God said in verse 18, but the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Listen to me carefully. You want to know why I believe that those people can stand in that police officer's face and cuss him like a dog? Because they don't fear God. They don't have any respect whatsoever for authority. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, the nation whose God is the Lord is marked with the right foundation. It's marked with the right faith and a healthy fear. But I want to give you this in closing this morning. The nation, one of the marks of that nation, there's going to be a people. The Word of God said, whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. In verse number 12, there's going to be a people with a bright future. Listen, we need to be encouraged in this mess that we're in. Listen to me carefully. Just remember that before the sun sets today, we could be home. This world is not our home, young'uns. We have a future that is bright. We should be concerned. It's the Lord. I don't know if it's a correct way to say it. The old timers say, what should tarry his coming? The Bible said, yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. But anyway, if we have some time before he comes back, it should be a concern to what's going to be for our children and our grandchildren in the United States of America. But we need to never lose sight of the fact that God's people are headed home. The Word of God said in verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. You say, Pastor, what does America need? We need mercy. We need God to be merciful. We need God to be merciful. We've come to a place where a church is not essential and a liquor store is. We've come to a place where that we're killing babies, not by the tens, not by the thousands, but by the millions. We've come to a place, beloved, listen, where in America, sodomy is no longer wrong. It's accepted in society. You say, Pastor, I don't understand why you're saying all that. I'm telling you what we need. We need mercy. We need God to be merciful. I want to remind you, I'm not trying to pull on your heartstrings, but I want to remind you of what happened in New York City. I want to remind you that America is hated by most of the world. And I want to remind you that the children of Israel were the apple of God's eye. And Brother Grizzle, I'm telling it right, ain't it? God would use ungodly nations to bring them to their knees, where they would look up once again and realize that they had sinned against God and that they needed mercy, mercy at the hand of God. The Word of God is talking about a future here that marks a nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible said in verse 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Michael, I don't know that I've ever heard a man close his prayer the way you close your prayer. And I love it. When Michael gets through praying, he'll say, in your holy, holy, holy name. Now, I don't know where Michael got that or how come he prays like that. Some of us will say it's in the name of our Lord Jesus we pray. But I tell you what, I believe it's scriptural. Over there in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, holy, holy, holy. We could say it 3,000 times, Michael, and it'd still be true. He's holy. And we need Him to be merciful to us as a sinful people. The Word of God is teaching you and I, beloved, that there is a nation whose God is the Lord, and that that nation will be blessed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I don't know about you. I almost believe we've been blessed to the point where we're spoiled. We're spoiled rotten. Amen. But we don't need to forget our founding fathers, the foundation, the faith. I love America. Don't you? I love the flag. I love the pledges. I love it. I'm not ashamed of America. I'm ashamed of her sins in many ways. But listen, I'm not talking about the sins of yesteryear. I'm talking about what's going on right now. And we need to understand that God wants to bless us. Many times you'll see the phrase, God bless America. I'm not sure that it wouldn't be better for God's people right now to get this prayer on their lips and in their heart. God help America. Help us, Lord, when so many would steer us towards lawlessness. So many would steer us away from the Word of God. I believe, and I believe it for many reasons, but I believe it's coming to a head. I don't believe there certain things can coexist. It's going to have to be one way or the other. I hope when the time comes, you know which side of the fence you're on. Because I believe with all of my heart, Sawyer and Olivia's future may depend on it. Amen. I believe your children and grandchildren's future may depend on it. The marks of a nation whose God is the Lord. Thank God for our founding fathers, for that foundation. Thank God for the faith. Thank God that we have some people in America that still fear God. Thank God we have a future,
a home in heaven. The lady sang a while ago, this is just what heaven means to me. That's our real home. Amen. Appreciate you coming this way today.